continue and kind of wrap up a series that we call Who We Are. This morning we're going to specifically look at Bible studies and ministries, because that's a part of who we are. And why we're doing a series called Who We Are is just a reminder to those of us who've been here for a while, but also a refreshing or a telling to those who are new of who we are as a church. We are not trying to be somebody that we're not. Some of you are here because we do things a different way than a different church does. We're not trying to be the church in another town or down the street or across the area. We are trying to just be Simonton Community Church. We have a hard enough time sometimes doing that. We want to just be who we are. And so there are some basics, there are some purposes that are spelled out in our Constitution. And I get lots of emails from pastors and ministry groups that are telling me there's a new way to do this, and there's a fancy way to make this happen, and you can grow your church this way, and you can increase this, and do all this kind of stuff, if you'll just do all these different things. And I'll go to a conference, I like that. I like to learn new ideas, but when you get back down to it, there are some basics that cannot change and cannot be compromised. They are, then this just becomes a gathering instead of a church. So we want to be careful about that. So while these are simple, they are incredibly important to church, and certainly to who we are, what we call Simonton Community Church. So we're going to look first at Bible studies. So we're going to look at two sets of scripture this morning. I love it when you look with me in your copy of the Word of God. If you don't have a copy, there should be one or two or ten in the row there with you. You can use one. If you don't have a Bible, please take one of those if you'd like it. But if you'll look in your Bible, find Matthew chapter 28. Put a bulletin or a piece of paper or something there. We're going to come to that in just a minute. Matthew chapter 28. And then find 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll come to Matthew 28 in a second. We're talking about Bible study. Some of the men, some of you men, are studying 1 Timothy with me on Wednesday nights in our Wednesday night Bible study. We go verse by verse. We are going through this book, and so in our first week, we already looked at this. But one of the things we saw is that in 1 Timothy, in the context of the verse we're going to read this morning, 1 Timothy is a letter that was written by Paul to Timothy. Paul is a mentor to Timothy. He's trying to instruct him in some of the practical matters concerning the church and how to be a better minister. But he specifically has sent him to the town of Ephesus. He wants him to stay there. And he wants him to address men who are teaching certain strange doctrines, Paul calls them. Things that would be contrary to what God's word says. It doesn't mean that they're not believers. We don't know that for sure. But they're teaching things that are not consistent with the Word of God. And then we come to verse 5 and listen to what Paul says to Timothy about teaching the Word of God. Verse 5, God's Word says, "But the goal of our instruction is love, from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Now that's pretty simple, oh so profound. So what did Paul tell Timothy? He told him that the goal, the desired end of the instruction. The word instruction here literally means a command, or what needs to be done, what must be done, what must be carried out. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you know that the Word of God lays out for us guidance for life. It should be our rule book, not in the sense of telling us what to do or I'm going to come down on you, but it gives us guidance to help us live a more fulfilled and purpose-filled life. That's what the Bible gives us in so many ways. Paul says to Timothy here, the goal of our commanding, or the goal of us teaching, the goal of us helping those who are listening understand what God is asking them, is love. It's not to manipulate their circumstances. It's not to get a desired behavior out of them. It's not to make them conform to what we want them to think and act and do. But the goal of our instruction is love. And the word love there literally means that God loves you. It's agape. It means it's unconditional. In other words, you don't have to change anything or do anything a certain way for God to love you. His word already communicates the fact that he loves you, regardless of what you think of yourself or what other people think of you. God says, I love you. And the goal of us learning God's word is to be reminded of that over and over and over again. Now, if you read God's word and it convicts you because God loves you. If you read God's word and it encourages you, then it encourages you because God loves you. If you read God's word and it shows you an area of your life that you should continue to build upon, that's because God loves you. God loves you, and that's the goal of the instruction, for you to be reminded. Notice, too, what else he says to young Timothy here. He tells him that there are three things that should be a part of that teaching, be a part of that goal of helping people understand that God loves them unconditionally. First is a pure heart, or a clean heart. It means that you're doing your best to be right before the Father. If you recognize sin in your life, then deal with it. Don't ignore it, and don't continue to build on the sin. Repent of it. Come clean before the Father. If I'm standing before you as a pastor and acting like my life is different than your life because of my title or because of my position, that's wrong. I'm a sinner just like you. And so when I have sin in my life, I have to go before the Father. If I ignore it and act like it's not a big deal, then that becomes a hindrance to my relationship with the Father. And also, it hinders my ability to teach you. Because I'm trying to teach you the Word of God. And if my heart is not pure before the Father, then it can't be pure before you. So all of us have to come before the Lord with a clean heart, with a pure heart. But especially those who are trying to teach. He also says you should have a good conscience, he tells Timothy. It means you should be positive and untainted. I mean that everything that's taught has to be exciting and be joyful. Because there are times that you and I know we need to be taught stuff that we're not doing well. We need to be taught stuff that will help grow us in our faith. Not continue to teach us the stuff that we already know. Although we need to be reminded of that. That's kind of what we're doing this morning. We're being reminded, if you've been in this church for a while, you know that we emphasize Bible study. But you want to come before the Lord with a good conscience. You also have to come before the Lord with a sincere faith, Paul said. That means that what I teach you has to also be what I live. It's going to be genuine. It can't just be me standing here and telling you because of my title or my position or the fact that I'm behind the pulpit and I'm giving you the word of God. Then if I'm not living that out, then my faith is not genuine. And the Lord will reveal that. That's why a lot of pastors fall, because their faith is not genuine. They say one thing, but they live something different. God doesn't allow that for you. Our faith needs to be sincere. We need to have a good conscience and a pure heart. But the goal of our instruction, the goal of anybody who's teaching the word of God, whether it's in this church or another church, should be for you to know that God loves you unconditionally. That's what his word is. His word loves you unconditionally. Those of you that are parents, understand what we mean by the idea of teaching that you understand, that your kids understand that they are loved. You don't give rules to your kids just to be mean, although they may think you're giving them rules to be mean, because they don't understand yet that the rules are meant to protect them. The rules are meant to help guide them in the way that you want them to go. But we all know as parents that once our kids' hearts become sold out to the Lord first, then they'll fall in line with everything else. Then the rules don't really matter as much. Because if their heart is right, then they desire to follow the Lord. Keith and I have raised Justin and Colin that are now 25 and 24. And so when we raised them as kids, there were times when, hey, you got to do it this way. Hey, you got to be here at certain times. Hey, you got to be home by this time. Hey, you didn't do your chores. There's consequences for that. Hey, your attitude stinks. There's punishment for that. There's discipline for that. But once they got older and we saw their hearts start to change, then the rules didn't have to be so strong anymore, because they started putting rules on themselves because their heart had changed. And as they're now adults, both of them are serving in their church this morning, not because their dad's a pastor, because the churches that they're in, nobody there knows their dad's a pastor, unless they've told them. But there's no pressure there in that way. One of them was in a parking lot this morning up in Fort Worth, where it was about 32 degrees, helping people park their car. That's the ministry that he loves doing. But he's also involved in a small group that'll meet this afternoon. He's in a worship service this morning, not because his dad knows anything about it, not because his dad's going to say, well, I'm going to take your allowance away because, praise God, I don't have to pay him for anything anymore. He's off my payroll, our payroll completely. Same thing with our other son. He and his wife are serving in their church. They're involved in a small group. They're involved in their worship service. They're involved in multiple other ministries where they're helping mentor other people, and they're doing other things because their hearts were captured by the Lord. The goal of the instruction is love, not conformance, not a behavior pattern. Because if the heart is right, the parents love, then other things fall in line. And that's the goal of our teaching the Word of God. We want people to know that God loves them unconditionally. And then when God gets a hold of their heart, everything changes. To that end, I've told you that our Constitution, as we've gone through this study, the Constitution in Article 2 spells out the four purposes of the church. This is what we don't compromise. Number one, we said was salvation. We talked about that in our first week. Then we talked about discipleship as our second. We want to teach people to use the Word of God in their own lives. Last week, we talked about missions, because that's been important for the last 53 and a half years of this church. The fourth says this. Article 2, entitled Purpose in our Constitution, says to establish Bible classes and Sunday school as the Lord shall lead. Some churches don't have Sunday school. Some churches don't have Bible study classes on their campus because they don't have space. They just don't. Again, we're not trying to be any other church. We're trying to be this church. God has given us and blessed us with facilities that are beyond what we deserve. There's no question. But we want to use those for the four purposes of the church. We want to make opportunities to study God's Word together. To that end, go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Many of you know this as the Great Commission. So we call it. It's called the Great Commission because this is Matthew's account of Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascends back to his rightful place next to the Father. He's already been resurrected. He spent about 40 days with people on earth. The Bible says he appeared to more than 500 people. Now he's gathered with his 11 disciples on a mountain. Then we pick up Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus gave this command. What's the command? The command is one thing. The command is make disciples. That's the command. That's what he told his disciples to do. Go out and make disciples. Disciples of who? Disciples of Christ. How do you do that? You do it in three ways, he says. You do it by going first. Christianity is not a private religion that you keep to yourself in your closet, in your room, in your house that nobody knows about. You've got to be able to tell other people. You've got to live it. You've got to be able to share with other people what God has done for you. He never asks you to do something that is outside your realm of ability or possibility. But you go, you share as God gives you opportunity. Share what God has done for you. Remember, the command is disciples. First, you have to go. The second we talked about last week is to baptize. The word baptism means identification with the message. Baptism means that people are making a commitment to Christ and you make that public. You let the rest of the world know. Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Baptism is a public way of doing that, because people are identifying with the message. And then this morning, our concern, our concentration is what he says, teach them to observe all, not some, not the things they just want to know. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Here's the cool thing about that word teach. The word teach doesn't mean make them sit in a classroom and learn it until they get it right on the test. It's more than classroom instruction. Teaching means live it out. Just as Jesus did with his disciples. If you've read the Gospels at all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you know that Jesus was a rabbi. He asked those disciples to come and follow him, to leave everything behind. And so they did. They followed him. It wasn't to just go to a classroom on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 9:30. It was to live life with him. So they walked in the dust of the rabbi. Literally, as they walked, if Jesus reached down and picked up a stick, you reached down and picked up a stick too, because there had to be a spiritual reason that he was doing that. As you sat and ate meals together, if he ate his vegetables first, and then he ate his meat second, you ate your vegetables first and your meat second, because there had to be a spiritual reason for doing that, even if you didn't understand. And when Jesus taught, you listened, because he didn't just teach while they were sitting in a classroom. He taught as they lived life and as they interacted with people. That's the idea. And here's the cool part. He is with us to the end of the age. Promise the disciples, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, time hasn't ended yet. That means he's still with those of us who choose to follow him and be his disciples, those who choose to become like Christ. He wants us all to go and baptize and teach and be a part of making disciples. That's part of who we are. That's why we study God's word. That's why the Bible study that we do around here is so important. That's why we have it on Sunday morning, we have it on Sunday night. We have it on Wednesday morning, we have it on Wednesday night. There are men that come on Friday morning early before the sun comes up, and they study God's word. And once you're studying God's word, let's look a little further at that. The ministries that we have, we hope, are based on the word of God. So two more scriptures. Find Ephesians 4. Put a piece of paper there, and then find Hebrews 4. Ephesians 4, Hebrews 4. I want us to talk about these ministries that we try to base on the Word of God. And I will tell you that every Tuesday when we have staff meeting, we start talking about the different ministries and how to fill up the calendar. There's times when we have to think about or pray about or talk about fact that whether or not these ministries help us with the four purposes of the church. There may be some great event. There may be some great idea. Do they fulfill one of the four purposes of the church? Do they help us with that at all? Or are they taking us away from that? If they're taking us away from that, then we don't need to waste our time. I don't care what other churches are doing. We need to do what God has called us to do. We need to be Simonton Community Church. And that's where the ministries come. Look at Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 12. God's word says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word, the Bible that you're holding in your hand, is living. It's alive. It's not dead. Some of you are proficient readers. You love to read. Lots of books. You may even have some favorite books. But none of those books, I don't care how important they are to you, are the same as the Word of God coming alive. Oh, a story can motivate you. Oh, a book that you read, something, an author can be a challenge to you and help increase the effectiveness of your life. There's no book, there's no author, there's no writing anywhere other than the Word of God that is fully alive. Whereas you read it, sometimes the words jump off the page and you're like, how did he know I was even thinking that? I'm just reading these verses and they are speaking to me. They're addressing a situation I haven't told anybody about. He's got it. He knows exactly what's going on. It's living, it's also active, it is effective in making things happen. There's a reason we challenge you to read the Word of God on a regular daily basis. Because it's active, it helps you understand your life, and it also helps you understand that God loves you, and He has a plan for you. He's not done with you, no matter what your age. He wants us to be involved in His kingdom, as we learned this morning. It's also sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the idea of a small knife. Some of you have hobbies, or maybe in your kitchen you have a set of knives or a special knife that you keep in a special place because it's really, really, really sharp. And you use it to cut edges or to do whatever in your hobby. And you know that if you're cleaning that, you got to be extra, extra careful because that thing is really, really sharp. And so you don't want anybody messing with it. And even when you do, you're very, very careful. That's the idea. Because look at what it says the Word of God does. It can divide the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, of thoughts and intentions. In other words, the Word of God knows the complete difference between the fleshly and the spiritual, and you and I don't always. Sometimes we say, well, my intention was this. Well, your thoughts were that, and they were contrary to each other. The Word of God can point that out to you because it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why it's important that we read the Word of God. Flip over with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. In this section of Ephesians, Paul is teaching the believers in the church in Ephesus about gifts and the purpose of God giving each of us gifts. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God has given you gifts to use within the body of Christ, the church. And if you're not, the church suffers for that. So look at what he says in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God gives believers gifts. He also says there are offices of ministry, but all believers are to serve. There are different gifts and different abilities that God gives us. God's not asking you to do something that He hasn't gifted you to do. He's asking each of us to serve in the body of Christ. But here's the cool part for me as a pastor. Look at verse 12 here. The goal of the gifts is so that there would be the equipping of the saints. Well, that gets us off the hook. Because none of us have died and none of us have been voted in by our denomination or our religion as a saint. Well, here's the sad news for those of you who think that, but the better news for the rest of us. The Bible in the New Testament tells us that all believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are saints. You don't have to wait until you're dead and somebody votes you in as a saint. You're already a saint if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so because of that, we are already saints. So the work of the different offices, so in my case as a pastor, my role is to help equip you for the work of service. My role as the pastor is not to do all the work for you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It's our job as the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. The pastor is not supposed to be the body of Christ. The pastor is to help equip you for the work of service to build up the body of Christ. If all you do is come on Sunday morning and sit in a pew, and that's all you do to serve the body of Christ, then you're failing the body of Christ. God has given you gifts and abilities to use in the body of Christ. If you're a member of this church, you should be using your gifts and abilities in this church. You can also use those in ministries outside of the church. But you also need to be serving in the church if you're a member. If you're a member of another church, you should be serving. You should be doing things. Here's the good news. You don't have to do something that God hasn't called you to do. But God's already given you a gift. Jump in and use your gift. You don't have to wait for an invitation or a billboard on the side of I-10. Use your gift. Find a ministry where you can serve. This morning in your bulletin, you received an insert that has some of the ministries in our church. If you're interested in serving in one of those, you may read those and go, man, that's easy, I can do that. Because you're gifted to do that. God's already helped equip you to do that. And we need people to do those things, to help the body run efficiently. There are other things you're going to look at and go, that's not me, I can't do that. God hasn't equipped you to do that. So don't do that. Do what God has equipped you to do. Find your place of ministry. Notice how long this is supposed to continue. Until we all attain to the maturity of being like Christ. We're not there. Not all of us are like Christ. So we have a ways to go. But it's something that we can work on. So that we are all to continue to be equipped and use our gifts and abilities to help in the body of Christ. God wants all of us to serve. If you're a believer, if you're a member, you should be serving. Wherever you're a member, you should be serving. Because God's equipped you to serve in that body. Again, we're not trying to be somebody that we're not. We're trying to be Simonton Community Church. Again, some of you are here because we do things a little differently than other places do. That doesn't make us right and them wrong. But we're going to do what God has called us to do. Think about where God has put us as a church. 53 and a half years ago, this church was established. It's established right here at Duke Crossroads. Some of you live as far as beyond East Bernard. Others of you come past Sealy or Katy or in Houston. Some of you come from down the street. And from all around. But God has strategically placed this church here, not just for the first 53 and a half years, but it may be for the next 53 and a half years or the next 530 and a half years if Jesus tarries. But he wants to use us as the body of Christ. It's not just about right now. It's about what God has in store for us as we continue to live for him. He doesn't promise us tomorrow. But he says, live for him now, but if tomorrow comes, we need to live for him tomorrow too. But we got to take care of today. So one of the things that we're doing to help us as a church, remind us to be Simon's Community Church and also challenge us in our walk with Christ, is I gave you a challenge if you were here last week. We're doing a 30-day challenge. Just one simple little verse. I didn't give you 10 verses. And some of you already said, well, are you going to give us the next verse? The cool thing is, you can memorize as many scriptures as you want. So if you want to go to the next verse and memorize that, you can. If you want to go 5 verses back and memorize the whole section, you can do that too. We're just picking one verse to start with. So we're using Philippians 3, verse 13. If you weren't here last week, we're doing this as a challenge to us to reach forward in our walk with Christ. So if you already read the Bible, great, continue doing it. Maybe you don't spend very much time in prayer. You've always wanted to, and you've tried certain things, and you just don't. So we're going to reach forward. We're going to forget what lies behind in regards to that, and we're going to try something new to help us in our prayer life. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to tell about Jesus or just even invite to church, and you haven't done that. Forget what lies behind and reach forward and do that. We're asking you to look for something practical that will help you in your walk with Christ this year. So we're memorizing this verse together. So would you stand with me? We're going to say it together. If you don't have a card, there's cards on the back table. They're all down the hallway. We would welcome you to pick up a card. We're learning the New American Standard Version. You can learn it however you want. We'll say it this way. So Philippians 3, verse 13, join me, says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and reach forward to what lies ahead. So what are we doing? We're reaching forward. Okay, you got to do it with me. That was 4. We're going to reach forward. One more time. Reach forward. Good, let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that it changes lives. We thank you that it truly is living and active and sharp and living to its sword. Father, I thank you for this church called Simonton Community Church. I thank you for all the people who are a part of it and the families that you represent. Father, I pray that you would help us to always desire to make sure we are spending time in the Word of God individually and even with groups of people. Because it helps sharpen us. It helps make us understand what you have in store for us. But Father, it also reminds us that you love us. Those of us who are parents love our kids, and so we give them rules, give them instructions, try to teach them, because we love them. Now, they may not always understand it in the beginning, but our goal is that their hearts would become completely yours one day, so they would ultimately follow you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to make your word a priority in this church and in our own lives. And I pray you'd help us live that out through the ministries of this church that are literally touching to the ends of the earth and also right here at home. Father, help us forget what lies behind the ways we failed to in the past, and help us to reach forward in our walk with you to become more like you. Father, we thank you for your incredible faithfulness to us. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. It's in Jesus' name that we